Well, as Wayne alluded to, we are beginning a seven-week series today that is kind of an all-church emphasis. All of our small groups Sunday morning and throughout the week are going to be looking at the book of John. And we even have a reading plan out on the Get Connected wall. If you'd like to read through the book of John, it's 21 chapters, and in 7 weeks, it's about 3 chapters a week to read through it as your, like, your little homework assignment. Just so we all are kind of doing this together as a body. So even our kids on Sunday morning are going to be going through the book of 1 John. So, I mean, this is really intergenerational as we walk through this together. As we look, and what we're going to be looking at on Sunday mornings is, after today, the I Am statements of Jesus. And there are 7 of them. There are 6 of them. And then this morning we're going to look at a little introduction to the book in chapter 1. My question for you this morning is who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus? If someone were to ask you who Jesus is, what would you say? Because it's the question that all humanity has to answer at some point. Who is Jesus? We may have a perception of who Jesus is. We may have ideas about who Jesus is. But who is he to you? Based on his word, what does God say about who he is? Because sometimes there's misconceptions out there about him. And as we look at the Gospel of John, one of the things that's really different about John's gospel than Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the other three, is in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you know, Matthew, there's a genealogy at the beginning of it. He introduces himself a little bit and what he's about, and Mark does the same thing, shares about who he is. Luke gives a little introductory statement as well. You don't get that in the Gospel of John. John goes right to the heart of what his entire book is going to be about. Inspired by God. There's no introduction about who he is. He's one of the disciples, James' brother. Doesn't talk about that at all. He goes right into the brunt of his message. And the main brunt of his message throughout the entire book is who Jesus is. And so he starts out right from the beginning. In verses 1 and 2 of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. A lot of important things just from these first 2 verses. It is intentionally alluding to Genesis 1:1, where it starts out, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Except John says, in the beginning was the Word. Who was this word? Well, as we read through this passage, we're going to see this word is Jesus, establishing his pre-existence. That Jesus didn't just show up on the scene as some prophet or great teacher. He has always existed, and he's always been God. He was there at the beginning with God, because he is God. His very nature, his very essence, his origin. Because this is important. Because even back then, as well as today, we live in a world where there are many gods, small g. And he's talking in part to a Jewish audience where he's establishing intentional connections. So he intentionally connects Genesis 1:1 with the beginning of his gospel, in the beginning. That Jesus has always been around. And this word logos, we could do a study on this word for a few weeks. But this, in the beginning was the word. The Greek word is logos. And if you get a biblical idea of this, this is just a little snapshot of it, of what it means. Isaiah talks about the word being sent from God. Jesus is that word, God in the flesh, who is about God's mission and being obedient to him. According to his will, he communicates and conveys what God is like, as we shall see in verse 14 of this passage this morning. Jesus shows us God. his heart, what he's like. It's more than just what we read on the paper of our Bible. The Word of God is a person. It's Jesus. So whatever we say about God, we can say about the Logos, we can say about the Word, we can say about Christ, because they are distinct yet one. We see a picture of the Trinity here, at least two parts of it. And in this world today, as back then in a Greek culture, well, there were many gods, many things you could follow. John says unequivocally, right from the beginning, Jesus is God. That means there really aren't any other options. He was there at the beginning. He's always existed. And it's sad that in our world today, you know, the pendulum shifts both ways at times. There are times Christianity is somewhat embraced, and there are times it hasn't been in the history of our world. And we're in one of those times right now where it's being marginalized, and if you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Christ, you're being ostracized in a sense, and persecution is increasing. We have stripped ourselves in our world today of even thinking theocentrically, with God at the center of life, that he is the reality. We think the world is the reality. How often in our lives today does our thinking circle around that God is the center of our lives? Because if Jesus is God in the flesh, he should be the core of our lives. If he's it in this buffet of options of the world, if it's not me, if it's not something else, some other philosophy or ideology I believe in, if Jesus is it, then my life should revolve around him. He should be the center. But yet today, we continue to push him. In conversations, we don't think theocentrically with God at the center of it. And we see what happens, don't we? In our society, in our world, when God is not at the center of it. And so John, right from the get-go, and he's stressing the importance of his message. Verse 3, he talks a little more about this, what it means that Jesus was at the beginning, that he's always existed. All things came into being through him, the Logos, the Word. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. That he was there, that he was the funnel. God spoke the word, and Jesus was the funnel through which everything came into being. Nothing was created apart from him. Again, establishing his preexistence, his divine nature, that he is God. He was there. All came into creation by his power. Then we go to verses 4 and 5. In him, this word was life. And the life was the light of men, humankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. John is, in this first chapter, and in just these verses we're looking at, talking about many themes that he is going to unpack more in more detail as Jesus spends time with his disciples and the Jewish people and the world in the Gospel of John. And several themes here. In him was life. He came to bring life to the world. And this life was the light of men, humankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. That word comprehend can mean overcome or destroy. So one, we have a message of hope here that John is going to talk about the person of Christ. He not only came to give life and light, but hope. Because John will work with this dichotomy of light and darkness, good and evil, God and our adversary, all throughout his book. There is a battle. There is a struggle going on. And Jesus is at the center of it. Because if we choose to follow him, there will be hostility, persecution. It will be difficult. And the opposition to Jesus, as you read through this gospel, will be severe. And there's this battle. The hope is that the darkness could not overcome it, though. Could not destroy it. It couldn't snuff out its light and power and life that he brings in the midst of the battle. That was going on when John was writing this toward the end of the first century, as well as today and throughout all history. A battle. Not fought necessarily with bullets and grenades and rockets, but a battle fought for our soul. John pictures this world as dark, and Christ is the only light, is the only hope for humanity, because the darkness cannot overcome him. It tried to. It tried to do everything it could. The devil looked for an opportune time to take him out, to kill him. But he conquered. Second Corinthians 2:14, the first part of it says, "But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, always leads us in victory. Because they may take our life physically, but they can't take our soul." So I don't know about you, but there may be days in your life, there may be weeks in your life where you feel this battle more than usual. When you go out into life, and it's just difficult. You feel the tension. You feel beat up. You feel wounded. Because following Christ is like swimming upstream, because the world's going downstream. But when we say that this word, this logos, this Jesus is God, and when we say I'm going to follow him and give my life to him, here we go. And Jesus knows what it's like, because he says in this book as well, "Take heart, I've overcome the world." You're going to have trials and tribulations in this world. Take heart, I've overcome it. The darkness couldn't snuff me out. And you know what? It never frustrated him either, because he knew what his mission was as the word sent from God. He kept going and persevering. So I encourage you today, you're here, which is good, because we need to do life together. Can you imagine soldiers in a battle, going into battle alone against their enemy? No, they have a team, they have a platoon, they go in with together because they've trained together. They know the plan of what they're going to do together. And then they go and seek to execute the plan. Why should it be any different for us? Because there is a battle. We need to stay plugged in to our community. Maybe get involved in a small group where you get a band of brothers or sisters where you can do battle together. With Christ's strength and life and light in your life. Hopping down to verse 9. "There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man." A couple of concepts here. First of all, the world in the Gospel of John. The world is not a neutral place to him. It's darkness, it's evil. It's those who don't believe and who stand against what Christ is and what he's trying to do. John 3:19 says, "This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil." The word world appears 78 times just in this book alone. It does have a positive connotation at times, and sometimes it's neutral, but the vast majority of times it's negative. It's the sphere of creation that lives in rebellion against God. But yet the amazing thing is, if we read in John, a great verse, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." God came into a world that was against him because he loved humanity. To share his love so that they might what? Believe. Believe and receive. You get that tension again. Isn't that just amazing that Jesus, that God would come into a world that he knew was going to reject him? Would you go hang out with people who you knew were going to reject you? It shows his great love and grace for humanity. That he was willing to come and pay the ultimate price, even if they chose to reject him. Because this light, it shines on everybody, enlightens every man, every person. By his love and grace. So no one is exempt. We all have to decide who Jesus is to us at some point. We've got to wrestle with this. And as you will see in the book of John, and even today, there are those who reject because, as we read, their deeds are evil and they don't want Jesus. And it's not just they don't know him or they've missed him. It is a blatant rejection where they do not want to believe. There will be those who receive him because their deeds are true and they want it. They're seeking truth. They're longing for it. They see the holes in their life. They see humanity and they see Jesus as the answer, the only hope for their lives. So just by making this statement, I mean, it's forcing a distinction, a choice for everyone. At some point in their lives, we have to decide what we're going to do with Jesus. Because if he is who he says he is, and John is making right from the start, the bold and exclusive claim that he is God, and that means all of humanity has to make a choice because he loves humanity. Isn't it sad that the one we desperately need the most is the one we marginalize and push away? I could write up a story for the model of different people I've talked to in my life, where I hear stories that are similar in a general way to someone coming to me and saying, "My spouse came home and one day and said, 'I don't love you anymore. I'm leaving.' He's got 4 or 5 kids. This general person comes in and this talks to me and says, 'What do I do?' And you hear the longing in his heart that there's something missing. I remember going to church, but I've strayed. I need to get back there. Because I've learned in my life, there is no sure foundation other than Christ." You hear it in teens and others' lives as they search for meaning, as they search for connection with friends, someone to love them. Jesus is that answer. Life, love, hope, light in your life. Verse 10, "He, the Logos, Jesus, the Word, was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him." And this is where we get more into this word "know." It's to indicate that one does not know, acknowledge, or even recognize. And there are still people today, you know, we are called to be the messengers. of the good news of who Jesus is. It is each one of our decisions, each person in this world. Will they recognize it? Will they receive? Will they understand? Will they make that choice to follow Jesus? And here's, you know, Jesus coming to that world that there would be those who would reject him, but he still came. The sin of unbelief, not just missing it, but literally choosing not to believe. And you will see that throughout this whole gospel. There will be lines drawn. People will choose to believe or to reject. Where are you at today? Who is Jesus to you? Do you believe in who he is? Have you said no to him? Let's continue to be clear. Coming to church does not save you. Jesus saves you. God is not going to ask you one day how many times you came to church. As important as it is to be a part of life together, he's going to ask you, what did you do with my son? Who loves you, who wants to give you life and light. Verses 11 through 13. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. You know, Jesus was born a Jew, and he's coming to his own Jewish people with all their background. And as you read through the book of John, and as we look through it together, he's going to use their festivals, what they practice, their history, which is why John ties this into Genesis 1:1 from the beginning to show, to be very clear, to leave no doubt or question who he is, that he is the Messiah, that he is God. He is the one who was prophesied thousands of years before, who was to come. He's going to make it as clear as he can. But there will still be his own people who will reject him. Reject him. But yet he still loves them. And the key is believing and receiving. You know, the way we term it here is on that card, on your connection card, becoming a follower of Christ. Have you believed? Have you received Christ in your life? Have you said yes to follow him? Because it's a lifestyle. It's not just a moment. It's not just a prayer. It changes your life. And children of God, the Jews would have caught this, because how often were they called God's children? How awesome it is that we can be called God's child, part of his family, a father who loves and cares for his children. To those who believe in his name, who are born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Belief is the key. Despite, as we see, the fallenness and corruption of humanity, God offers hope, and he continues to offer hope in the person of Christ. God in the flesh, the great I am, as we will see. Verse 14. And the Word became flesh. This is where we see this Word, this Logos, Jesus, became flesh, became human, and dwelt among us. And we saw his glory. Glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. That word dwelt there for the Jew would have had great significance, because that word is used in the Old Testament for the tabernacle of God, where God's presence was, where his glory radiated from. And now they're hearing that God's presence, God's glory is now visible. It can be seen. It can be touched. It can be heard physically in the person of Christ, God in the flesh. And that would have just totally shocked a Jewish person, because only the priest could go in once a year into God's very presence. And now John says, guess what? You can see it. You can hear it. Everybody can. That's powerful. You can have a relationship and see the glory of God manifested in Jesus. Who comes to dwell among you. You know, it's this picture of, you know, tabernacle. They pitched a tent. He pitched a tent in your life. Comes to live within you. And you look at our world today, even back then, you know, there were many, there weren't self-help books per se. You couldn't go to a Books a Million or something, and or online. But they sought to make their lives better as well in different ways. Counselors and stuff you could go to and talk to about how to better your life, how to make more money. They just didn't do it always through a written book. But you look at, because of the internet, because of TV, all the media outlets we have now, man, just go to a bookstore and type in self-help books. You can find self-help books on everything, anything you want to do. And there's some that talk about prosperity, some about passion, some about power, and many others. And if you purchase their videos for only $19.95, they'll be there in a week, and then we'll give you this special thing with it. Yeah. You look at our world and all the different ways we try and cope. You look at the heroin epidemic that just continues to ravage our country. Look at broken relationships. Jesus comes full of grace and truth as the answer, the logos, the word for humanity. And it's the only hope. Self-help books, yeah, they might help you out. They might help you do a project, or they may help you earn a few more bucks, or help you find a better outfit or something, or fill in the blank, whatever it might be. But what we all need is Jesus. And what we all need to answer the question is, who is he to us? So even though Jesus doesn't, and John doesn't say it in this first chapter, it's implied a little bit. Exodus 3:14, where God reveals his divine name, I am who I am. Right here from the beginning, John is saying that I am the Word, talking about Jesus. I'm God in the flesh. I'm the Word of life and light and grace and truth. I am the Word of God's presence with you today and forever. Two questions for you to think about. What does that mean to you? Who is Jesus to you? Have you believed and received? Is he the light of your life? Do you know that because of him you have life forever? Have you sensed his presence in your life? Do you know that he is God today? How is he the center of your thinking and everything you do and say? Where are you plugged in to help do life together, to get you through? And what does this mean for the world? I found one of the greatest joys that I pray for people is that you have the opportunity to share Christ with someone. Because there's no greater joy. There's no greater joy. Because there's no other hope for humanity. That is our call. That is our mission. Is to be the messengers. They may reject. But But God still loves the world. He's not going to give up. He's not going to let it frustrate his mission to see everyone come to know him, come to the knowledge of the truth. Who are you praying for in your life who doesn't know Jesus? Who are you bringing before God to say, God, give me an opportunity to in some way share Christ with this person? Because he's the only hope, he is the word to us now and forever that will change our lives. Let's pray. Jesus, I just thank you today for who you are. And I pray, God, that everyone here this morning knows who you are. And as we think about that question, who is Jesus to each one of us this morning? Who is this word, this person that is God in the flesh? I pray today if we are discouraged by how the world has beaten us up a little bit, that we can find encouragement. If we haven't believed or received this morning, God, that we realize that that's it. That's what we need. We would stop searching the world over for things that will not satisfy other than you. And I pray you are the word on our lips and our hearts as we go out into this world. No matter how much the enemy, no matter how much the world fights back, we want to share you with the world because that is our life mission, as you as the center of our lives. Put someone on our heart today we can be praying for or keep praying for the opportunity to share you with them. Because they need, we need Jesus. And it's in that name we pray. Amen.